right now it is time for some movie reviews. If you're not going to the game and you're looking for something else fun to do on this chilly weekend, Tim Lammers is joining me today. Our movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured, and you can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim Lammers, welcome to the show. What are we talking about today?
Well, we have another superhero movie, Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Now, this is a DC movie, so just a lot different tone with these pictures than there is from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Marvel ones generally were lighter in tone, but with movies like Shazam, they went that direction too, and I think that's a good direction. Otherwise, they were more grounded in reality and more serious and things like that. You know, Shazam, it's just about as campy as a comic book movie gets.
Yeah.
It feels comic book on the screen, and the first film is like 4 years ago already. I suppose, like the other pictures in the last couple of years, you know, things were delayed because of the pandemic. But yeah, it's finally here 4 years later.
You know, when I think of Shazam, I think of Isis. Do you remember Isis and Shazam that was on Saturday morning cartoons? Like she was.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
she was huge. And it's funny that's. I remember Shazam because of how I thought Isis was the greatest thing. I would run up and down the driveway, and my mom had this big brooch necklace, and I would put it on my head and try to spin around in a circle and turn into Isis. Never happened, but I tried.
Hey, you can keep trying.
There's a superhero in
all of us. You know that.
But yeah, does she happen to come up anywhere?
And you know what, though? That fun feeling that you get from doing that, I mean, that's the sort of tone you get with this picture. The 2019 film was about Billy Batson, a teen who didn't have a family. His mother abandoned him when he was younger. He was in and out of foster homes his whole life. Finally, he does find the right fit, and he's got five brothers and sisters there.
Wow.
And a wonderful a couple that, you know, shepherd these young people. And in the middle of all that, he encounters a wizard and gets the powers of Shazam, which makes him, you know, he can fly, he can shoot lightning bolts, all that sort of stuff. The reason I really liked that picture was it had this great family feel to it. And, you know, I'm an adoptive parent. I have friends that have fostered children. You know, it just was such a warm film from, you know, watching it from that standpoint. I just love the familial aspects of that picture, you know, the family feel. You don't get that as much here because things have changed. He still lives in the house with his other foster brothers and sisters. But at the end of that first film, he all gave them the powers of Shazam. So they're like a superhero team.
Oh.
And, yeah, so now they're facing a new nemesis. It's actually a trio of sisters played by Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and Rachel Zegler. And Rachel Zegler, you might not recognize her name initially, but she was Maria in the latest production of West Side Story by Steven Spielberg.
Oh.
So she's really terrific, yeah. So, you know, it's more of a superhero movie in that there's a lot more crash, boom, bang going on. I mean, there's, you know, creatures that the sisters of the daughters of Atlas, the trio of bad, the supervillains, they conjure up these creatures to fight Shazam and his team on Earth. And then the whole family thing, you feel that family theme coming back in about the third act. So I didn't like the movie as much as I liked the first one. I think it feels more of a formulaic, conventional superhero movie than the first one does. But it's still really good. I mean, I enjoyed it. And that's really what you need. That's all you ask for, right, for a picture like this. You just want to be entertained.
And you were.
So you get that here.
Okay. You were entertained.
That's all you need.
Speaking of that,
everything you need. And, you know, I mean, for a film like this, you know what you're going to get. I mean, it's goofy. Like I say, it's campy. You know, some superhero movies have gotten pretty self-serious, and it's nice to have a film that obviously doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, there are some serious themes in there. Like I say, this theme of, wanting and belonging and family and all that sort of stuff, those are very pertinent and very important. But, you know, it never gets to the point where it's drudgery.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's why I really liked it a lot.
Does it remind you of, I don't know if anybody else knows what I'm talking about, does it remind you kind of a Power Ranger? Power Ranger kind of campy?
The truth be told, that was after my time. And, yeah, I would imagine my kids probably watched Power Rangers. Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like
my kids love that.
That wasn't my time. Yeah, exactly. So I couldn't tell you much about Power Rangers, but from what I know about them, yeah, there's a similar feel to that group and this group here.
Kind of that used to remind me of the Doctor Who stuff a little bit, but not like anymore. But back, you know what I mean? It kind of had the Doctor Who feel a little bit silly, but anyway.
Fine. And that's what it should be. I mean, we go to the movies because we want to escape, right?
Exactly.
So you don't want them to be, you know, serious. You want them to be funny and just light and happy and makes you feel good when you leave the film. Now, I will say, because these superhero movies, they do this all the time. And there's a scene in the middle of the credits and at the end of the credits. So 2 hours and 10 minutes, you're going to have to stay the whole time if you want to see the whole picture.
Okay. All right. Now, this is probably not going up for any awards.
No. And I don't think many pictures aspire for that. I mean, once in a while, you'll catch a film that, you know, it is a feel-good and more of a popcorn movie, but a Top Gun Maverick, you know, that does get nominated for an Oscar and did not win. Well, won one Oscar, I guess. But, that's the one thing that drives me nuts about Oscars. And I was disappointed in this year's ceremony in that, you know, my film of the year, it's all about me, you know.
I know. I know. And your film
did not win Best Picture. But well, did you watch the ceremony by chance?
No, but I heard about the ceremony, and I heard that it was all, everything, everywhere, all at once.
Right.
And I've heard that was a disturbing, like, my friends that have watched that said they were really disturbed by that movie. And I'm
like,
why?
It's a multiverse movie, so in a way, it's kind of like a comic book movie. It's very different, I will say. It's not horrifying or anything like that.
Okay.
But it's just really, really offbeat and different. And, you know, this was the year that film took a hold of the Academy members, and it cleaned up. It didn't sweep. It was nominated for 11 awards. So it won 7, but it won all the big awards that it was nominated for. You know, picture, director, which is actually co-directors, screenplay, and 3 of the actors.
Well, now,
You
did want Jamie Lee Curtis to win, didn't you?
Yes and no. I mean, look, I like the fact that actors get their due eventually.
Yeah.
And certainly she's been around a long, long time. But so is Angela Bassett. And, you know, performance-wise, and again, my opinion, I just think that Angela Bassett gave such of a striking, soulful performance in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which was all rooted in the loss of Chadwick Boseman. I mean, everybody, you could feel their real pain on the screen over the loss of Chadwick Boseman. So, I mean, it was a really powerful performance. So it was a disappointment that she didn't win, too. I mean, sometimes you wish, I'll just say it's a tie, but that rarely happens.
Yeah.
Happened one time, I know, with Barbara Streisand tied with somebody, I know, one point. But it rarely, rarely happens. But, you know, there has to be winners and losers, right? So hopefully at some point Angela Bassett will get another opportunity. The last time, a long time ago, she was nominated for What's Love Got to Do With It, playing Tina Turner.
She is so good.
You know, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, because you see the reactions. Most people try to clap and smile, even though they're in pain. But Angela, she just was, like, stunned. The last time I saw somebody stunned like that was when Lauren Bacall lost to Juliet Binoche, which was a big shock.
Angela was stunned.
Lauren Bacall was devastated at losing that award.
Really? And you could tell by Angela's expression she was...
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't like it. Here, and here's the problem with social media. I mean, everybody has their quick take on it. It's like sore loser. No, not really. Everybody wants to be recognized by their peers for, you know, excellence. And this is the top of the top awards, yeah. Right? So, you know, I didn't look at it that way. I just looked at it like, oh, my heart breaks for her because she clearly had her heart set on this. This was... Ugh. You know, initially, this was supposed to be her year until Everything Everywhere All at Once took hold. And I do believe in this thing called momentum, and that film had it all award season. And once Jamie Lee Curtis won the Screen Actors Guild for female actor in a supporting role, it's like, well, you know what? Now it's quite real.
Yeah.
Because when you win that award, which is also a peer award, then it's a pretty good indicator of... who's going to win the Oscar.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's heartbreaking because you're right. There can only be one. I guess if I was in that position, I'd just have to say, if I got nominated, to me, that's a win. I mean,
well,
that is a win.
Yeah, and I think a lot of other people that knew that Ke-Hee Kwan was going to win for supporting actor and that Brendan Fraser was in all likelihood was going to win for The Whale. You know, I think most actors are resigned to the fact that it's just an honor to be nominated.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, it's a tight race, and I think the tightest race this year clearly was between Angela Bassett and Jamie Lee Curtis and Cate Blanchett. Michelle Yeoh won, and I'm happy for her. Again, one of those things, lifetime of great performances. But Cate Blanchett won a couple previous times, so I don't feel as bad
if
she doesn't take it, even though it's an incredible performance in Tar.
Oh, gosh, okay. So, yeah, I kind of wish that I would have watched it. I can't remember what I was doing that night, but I didn't get a chance to check it out. I heard about it, and I thought, oh, here we go. It's a sweep, and it's going to be one of those years like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? And half the room is going to be happy, and the other half is going to be upset. But
if you're going to watch anything quickly, watch Jimmy Kimmel's opening. It was very, very funny. He left the politics out of it because we're tired of that.
Yeah, exactly.
and it was really, really funny. So you should be able to find that on YouTube, I would imagine.
Okay, I'll check it out. Well, Tim, thank you so much. It's Tim Lammers. You can learn more about Tim and listen to some great conversations at directconversations.com. Our movie review is brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. And you can learn more at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.